Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Let's move on and get to Mike Gill on Birds 365 here. He is joining us now from 97.3 ESPN. You can follow him at Mike Gill Show on YouTube, on X, on all the platforms. Watch his show on YouTube and listen on 97.3. Mike, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this Wednesday morning?
Well, I'm not $41 million richer.
I said I didn't get that ACH in the bank account, but
no,
Saquon did. Your thoughts, your immediate thoughts.
Well, John, you were on with me when it happened yesterday, and we were talking about the rare time when your boss says, "Hey, man, you did a really good job. Here you go. Here's a raise." It doesn't happen often. I find it interesting because the reaction that I got from a lot of people that texted into my show yesterday, there were a lot of questions. Why? Why now? Why do this? And as the show kind of materialized, it was a lot of, you know, you got the best season you're probably ever going to get from this guy. I mean, he gives you 2,000 plus yards, just a historic year. You win the Super Bowl. The Eagles are basically paying him for his best season, not for topping his best season down the road. Does anybody watching right now think that there's a better season in Saquon than the one we just saw? Now, this isn't to criticize it. It is kind of, though, like, hey, you know, we love Saquon. He's our guy. But on the other side, it's like, are you ever going to get a 2,000-yard season? So there's got to be some financial gain for Philadelphia. You know, this is an interesting take because four years ago now, you got 18 and a half sacks from Hassan Reddick. They didn't say to him, hey, man, great season. Here's some money.
Right.
They made him play on that deal, and then he did not have nearly the same season, and then they traded him. So the Eagles are really betting and banking and probably with good reason to say we got a 2,000-yard season and there's something pretty similar coming down the pipeline. Because if not, I look back to that Reddick. An edge rusher is a position they value. And they said, nah, I'm not coming to you for more money. You're going to have to sit and wait. So I find this whole thing to be a very interesting timing, which again goes back to they must have some financial gain. Now, I don't know.
There we go, Mike. That's what I wanted to say, because you've been doing this for a long time. And it frustrates me. And I'm not blaming fans because of the way it's delivered to them. It's embarrassing. Like everybody, can you point to a bad Howie Roseman, Jake Rosenberg, and now Bryce Johnson contract over the past 10 years? Now, when you misevaluate a player.
Yes, I can.
But it's misevaluation. Bryce
right,
Huff.
Well, the Alshon Jeffrey one, I don't think they needed to sign, right? Is that
miss,
the one where.
Miss,
you could argue Bradbury, too. But yeah, no, again, John, misevaluation.
I'm saying contract. Everybody misses on players. That's low-hanging fruit. You get the player wrong. If Saquon gets hurt, blah, blah, this looks like a bad contract. I'm not saying that. I'm saying bad contract from the team perspective, from a business standpoint. They don't do that. They don't do that. I'm stunned by it. So many people say they did this for a reason. Now, did they reward the player? Yes. That's one of like 17 different things, and the first 16 are about the business end. They want to get ahead of the market. They want to set the market. They're comfortable where the market's going to be in 2 years. And this is what we want to pay this player, as others, whether it's Bijan Robinson comes up or somebody brought up Jahmyr Gibbs, whatever. They set the market. They set the market with Jalen Hurts. They set the market with Landon Dickerson. They put it with where they're comfortable.
Hey, listen, I certainly don't. It's a funny situation where they do right by the player, and then that kind of gets, you know, the Sixers did this. They went to Joel Embiid. They didn't have to give him the money. They chose to, and that's blown up in their face. Here's a similar situation. They didn't have to give Saquon the money. They're choosing to. Both ownership groups are making calculated decisions here based on financials. The money to Embiid is so that he got a three-year extension. If they wait, they had to give him a 4 or 5 year extension. So they were banking that we only want to give him 3 years. They didn't want to wait for him to qualify for 4 or 5. That blows up in your face. They get criticized. Here, they did not have to approach Saquon Barkley. They could have waited until he had another great year last year and then approached him, similar to what they did not do with Reddick. So again, the $36 million that he gets for signing, that lump sum of money says there's got to be some sort of cap relief somewhere down the road. They kick something down this way. So it is obviously set up. They didn't just say, you know what? Barkley's such a great dude.
Yeah.
Here you go. Like, yeah, they like Barkley.
I'm amazed by how many people think that they just blew up their salary cap situation. They don't do that.
No. No, and here's the other part about this. I tried yesterday. Okay, I'll ask everybody watching and you two guys. The Eagles, let's say they got cap relief right now for this particular free agency. I can't think of one free agent they have to target other than their own guys, unless they wanted to make a trade and then extend that guy in the trade. And I'm sure you guys can figure out where I'm going with that. But if you're trying to get this cap relief to say, we want to be players in free agency, that's certainly not it, unless they just want to have the relief to sign their own guys back. There's not one guy in free agency that you're like, that's, if I said pick one guy that you want to make sure you target, there's not one guy. They don't need really anything other than if somebody in their own house leaves.
Yeah, free agency is not that great. And, you know, we've talked about that in the past. I do think people get way hyper-focused on one move means they're going to do something else. They're making room for Myles Garrett. And, you know, the Eagles' philosophy is more, you know, universal than that. You know, there's Slay. We all knew something was going to happen with Slay. It had to. Bradberry. All this is a part of it. You'll see it, whether they re-sign Zach Bond or not. All this is part of the plan. And there's many contingencies off the tentacles of that plan. But so many people say, oh, they're doing this because they want to do this. That's generally not the way the Eagles work. It's more universal than that. And, you know, that's what they're successful at. That's the biggest thing. That's what I wrote about on Sports Illustrated. People copy, you know, everybody calls the NFL a copycat league, and it is. People copy Vic Mangio schemes. They copy, oh, we want to be like Sean McVay. We want to do this. We want to hire the guy he had coffee with a week ago because we want that. They don't copy the right things, man. The philosophy of the Eagles is what they should be copying.
They should be, but one difference is, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but Howie has to be able to go to Jeffrey and say, hey, I need a check for $36 million.
Yep. Well, he's and part of it. Mike I Brown bring him up all the time, Mike.
Mike Brown's not writing the check for $36 million today.
Can't.
Most likely Jerry Jones is not writing that check for $36 million. He could, but he chooses not to.
Yeah.
That's why Dallas always has problems with their cap. They wait too long. They don't know when to approach. They let the guys get to free agency. Then they get to the open market. Then they have to overpay to bring them back. And then the cycle continues where they have guys so overpaid that they can't compete at the highest of high levels. Where Philadelphia, he says, Jeffrey, can you write me a check for $36 million? And then Jeffrey says, yeah, okay, I'll do it. Not every owner is doing that. So while Howie does get all the Howie season and Howie this and Howie that,
which, well, it's, yeah, it's, yeah, I bring it up as much as possible, even though I don't, because I don't want to blow up the ego of Jeffrey Lurie anymore, but I bring up it as much as possible. He does not get the credit he deserves because there are few owners. And by the way, you bring up the Joel Embiid comparison. The Eagles wouldn't have done that because of his medical history. But if that blows up, you know, with Saquon from a medical standpoint, because this is a very violent game.
And he's had some injury issues in his past.
Yeah. If that blows up, if this contract blows up, he will not get fired. Because Howie understands, Jeffrey understands, things like that are going to happen in this league, and they're willing to take that chance. Scared money don't make money, is the old saying.
Yes.
And all these teams act scared. Oh, we don't have to do that. We got 15 months.
Right. Well, listen, I remember years ago, this is when they signed Mailata, and Mailata was – you know, he had the one good year. He was kind of an unknown, and they approached him. And, you know, he didn't really have a resume, but their point was, let's get to him before he becomes the best tackle in the league. Now they have Mailata at under market value.
They did it. They did it twice with Mailata.
Right.
They even surprised me with Mailata because they went to him so early. I'm like, really? You're going,
well, AJ. Right. It's like, you have to take the chance that you have trusted your instincts and your scouts to say, what I just saw, we think we should pay. And then if we pay him now, we don't have to let him get to free agency and then pay him as the top guy. And that's where like a team like Dallas says, wow, this guy's really good. And then he does it again. And then you're like, oh man, now we have to pay him at the top. The Eagles pay Mailata and he's like a completely underpaid player. And that's how you keep together a team. Now, they did this back in the Reed era, and you would have guys holding out because they were unhappy because they were getting underpaid and they wanted more money. Brian Westbrook, I think a lot of the guys.
But yeah, it started Kelly
Brown and some others.
It started with Joe Banner, another guy. That's really where it started.
The other thing here, too, the Eagles deserve a lot of credit because this philosophy doesn't really work if you don't draft correctly. I mean, think about the defense, guys. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, N'Kobe Dean, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams, Moro Ojomo, Nolan Smith, anybody else I'm missing, they're all playing well on rookie contracts.
Reed Blankenship.
I mean, he's not a rookie contract, but or similar, I guess. But
yeah, well, I mean, these are all guys that they drafted and then had to make decisions on. I mean, you can even go to Josh Sweat, was a guy they drafted at one point and then had to pay him. And then they got him to take a pay cut, for God's sakes.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, getting guys to contribute on rookie contracts, that's value right there. And they got a lot of them on defense. So it's their evaluation of players is also very good right now.
Which, by the way, is a complete 180 from where they were, 5 years ago, mm-hmm. where people listen. I'm sure there's a lot of people watching here, probably many who don't want to raise their hand, that said they hated Howie. They wanted him gone. And it was all because of a handful.
Yeah, I still got the hate mail, Mike. I'm sure you do. I don't know if
you were one of the early ones as well, calling Howie a top five right on this program. I remember it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been way before that. Listen, even going back to the Rigor miss, you're going to miss. You're going to make mistakes. Is that an egregious one? In hindsight, it is. But at the time, people forget in that draft, Justin Jefferson wasn't the first wide receiver taken. He wasn't the second wide receiver taken.
Yeah, a bunch of people missed on Justin Jefferson.
And that's part of the thing is, look, you have to live and be okay with the fact that you're going to make mistakes. But what do? I end up with A.J. Brown. Okay, this did not work out for me. It blew up in my face. He also missed on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Now, that wasn't a first-round
pick. Andre Dillard.
That was another guy. Right. They traded for Dillard. They had a period of misses. And guess what? They're going to happen again. They are on such a hot streak of drafting and signing guys. At some point, you're going to bring a guy. And they have, by the way. They have signed Justin Edwards and Terrell Edmonds and,
Bryce
guys
Huff.
Who have just not Bryce worked
Huff
out
last
for them.
Year.
High yeah, Bryce Huff so far has not worked out for them. It's going to happen. But what they have done is right now build the coffers a little bit up again where they can afford to make those mistakes.
No doubt about it. It's really impressive what they're doing. Mike, with this being said, This made me think of something interesting because we talked all year about the way this offense looked, the way it was built, where they were allocating the money to in terms of receivers and the passing game. They just doubled down on Saquon Barkley. I think the Eagles are collectively saying, F you to anybody who wants us to be different. And what Mike, do you think will come next now? Me and John were just talking about Mekhi Becton. I mean, think about it. You just doubled down on Saquon Barkley to be a running offense, presumably for the next couple of years. Is Mekhi Becton the next order of business, or how do you see it playing out?
You know, I've been saying really since the Super Bowl that, you know, that whole week afterwards, which was the Dodgers won the World Series, and then they went out and got the top pitcher on the market and then said, you know what, we'll go get the Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, and then everybody this offseason can bitch and bemoan that the Dodgers keep getting better. I think that's where Howie wants to go. I think Howie's going to say, look, everybody's talking about the Eagles and how they got all these guys. You got Joe Burrow saying, well, the Eagles will figure out a way to sign their players. I heard TJ Husmanzadeh the other day saying the Eagles are far and away the best franchise, how they treat their players. Dan Orlovsky saying people want to play for the Eagles. And I think Roseman is going to be the Dodgers. He's going to go out and find ways to make this team aesthetically seem like they're better than they were the year before and have it in people's minds that that team just won the Super Bowl and they went out and got this guy. So I wouldn't be surprised if something big is also on the pipeline. I think Vaughn, for me, is interesting because of what they just did with a position that we deemed that they did not value for years. They finally valued that position and what it meant to them. Similar on the defensive side of the ball. And he's dropped some hints about this, you know, the linebacker stuff. He talked about it in the past and they've kind of overlooked it, but they finally got a guy to where he was a huge difference maker on that defense. And they might finally put some money into that position. So Bond would be the guy that I think might excite people the most if they brought him back. The other interesting thing would be, I don't know if you guys have talked at all about this AJ Brown nonsense, but is that even?
Yeah, well, I was going to bring it up, but
okay. Well, the only thing that I can come up with that would possibly pass the sniff test would be the smell test, I guess, would be, look, we just put $41 million more dollars in running back.
Yeah, that's
it. We're not saying AJ Brown isn't worth it or isn't good, but we're paying him. And we don't really need to pay that much money if we're going to commit to the run game as much as we do.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do think, you know, it seems like New England and everybody around New England wants to create a self-fulfilling prophecy and being able to trade for A.J. Brown. But you bring up the point. I mean, it is the point. Do you really need A.J. Brown, the receiver, the level of A.J. Brown, if you're going to play the way you play on offense last year?
Right. Right. If you're saying, hey, we paid this guy before we had Saquon Barkley here. Now we have Saquon Barkley, and we're paying a guy who's very good, but we don't really need very good. What can we get in return?
I would not advocate that.
Yeah, I would not advocate it. Not advocating. Yeah. I'm just trying to find a
path. But no, I'd like the devil. Because one thing I wanted to bring up too with you, and we'll continue with AJ in a second, but because you brought up the defense and you brought up Joe Burrow, and I bring up Joe Burrow's good. The Eagles pay everybody, essentially, is what he said. Well, no, they don't. And if things go the way we think they're going to go, they're not going to pay Milton Williams. They're not going to pay Josh Sweat, and they're going to try to reload, you know, whether it's young players. Maybe they hit the home run with Myles Garrett. Whatever, trade market. However, if they do go cheap on defense again, with the exception of Zach Bond, I think they're going to get Zach Bond done. This was the number one defense in the NFL. This defense was better than this offense where they pay everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I play a devil's advocate. Why? Why?
Again, not advocating to move AJ Brown. When I heard this yesterday, I kind of I thought it was just people making like possible things up. Like, hey, why don't you try to call Phil? Like, okay, I don't know why Philadelphia would be interested in doing that. I think AJ adds to the run game. What his presence on the field can only add to the running game. You might say, hey, we're paying him to catch 110 balls, or when we paid him, it was to be a guy to catch 110 balls, and now we don't need him to do that. So now we can afford, maybe value-wise, well, that's what they're looking at.
You can make an argument. That's the problem with football. You can make an argument. There's so few games. Paralysis by overanalysis. You can talk yourself into that stuff. You can say, well, we're a running team. We don't need the top-tier receiver. You know, when Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown were on the field together, they didn't lose a single game.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They were 18. Is there more than meets the eye here, everybody?
I mean, when the question was asked to me, I was almost perplexed as how is this even a question? Like, no, you don't trade A.J. Brown. That's ridiculous. So,
well, then you have his personality and the way the people take some of his comments and all that stuff. And, you know, yeah. I do think a lot of it is New England trying to wish it into existence.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Coward said it too. I would move off A.J. Brown.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
and he does like Mike Vrabel. He does like Mike Vrabel.
AJ. Yeah, he played in Tennessee for Vrabel. Yesterday, when the question was asked to me on the air, I kind of got blindsided because I hadn't seen anything about it to this level yet. And I guess the report came from Matthew Berry.
Matthew Berry and then Tom Curran, who's a little bit more plugged in, I would say.
So it was like Curran. The fantasy football guy is now.
It wasn't just league. Matthew Berry.
Got it.
Tom was on a radio. It was more, you know, again, and I suffer from this as well. When you do a show, sometimes you're speculating, but you're a reporter and people say, well, Tom Curran said he wasn't saying, he was basically talking about the history of AJ with Mike Vrabel and that kind of stuff. And it would make some sense for that perspective. And he's probably thinking about it the same way we just thought about it, which was, well, they don't need a big time wide receiver if they're going to play the way they play.
Two of them. Yeah, they got two of them.
Yeah. And you have Jahan Dotson, who's more cost effective. And how do you get a player like Myles Garrett? You got to give something up. Might not be trading A.J. Brown to Cleveland. Might be trading A.J. Brown to New England to get draft capital, get Myles Garrett.
Right. Right. You know? Yeah, exactly. You know, so those would kind of be the dominoes of, if you're thinking bigger picture, hey, I need to get draft capital to be able to do this. I don't know that that's what they have to do, but. I personally do not think it's necessary, nor do I see it happening.
No, they don't lose when he's on the field.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When he's off the field, they lose.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
I'm not moving off AJ Brown. I get the talking point of, like, you're a running team. Why do you need him? But I think there's more, like I said,
Right. That was the only way I could say if this was an actual legitimate thing because again, the thing that I had read or saw was that the Patriots, not the Eagles, were like, hey, A.J. Brown's available. Anybody want to call us? No, it's like doing due diligence. Hey, you guys got two really good receivers. Are you sure you want to keep both those guys? Maybe something to that. Okay, I can play along with that. I don't think the Eagles are actively saying, call us. We're here to listen.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know the contract, but I would speculate that it's not the easiest contract in the world to move, probably. I mean, they just signed a massive $32 million per year extension with a lot of money guaranteed. I mean, how easy would that contract be? I mean, just to entertain the idea, which, by the way, I don't think the Eagles are entertaining the idea.
Yeah, it's not. It's
you're not,
not
saving any money. I mean,
the dead money would be, with a trade pre-June 1st, would be 31.5. And you'd lose about $14 million of cap space post June 1st. You can do it, but generally, that's not when teams would be working to make that trade. You want to make that trade early in the season because you want the draft picks. You don't want to wait to June 1st. So, yeah, it's very, very unlikely.
Not happening. Yeah. I don't see it happening at all. Mike, I want to ask you about Slay was released earlier in the week. Bradbury as well, and we'll talk about that, freeing up a little bit more cap space. But where are you on Darius Slay? Like, if these two sides are willing to tango, do you think Slay should be back? Should they turn the corner and get younger at that position and kind of rely on Ringo, maybe bring back Rodgers? How do you see the cornerback shaking up? Maybe you think Cooper DeJean should go outside. How do you see the cornerback position shaping up this year post Darius Slay?
Well, I'll start with that. No, I think Cooper DeJean playing that nickel spot was a key to why this defense was what it was. It's hard to find those nickel guys. How many guys did they go through? I mean, other than Avante Maddox, they haven't been able to find anybody of any competence to play that position. I think we downplay how important that spot is because it's not deemed as high profile. You know, it's like saying we have a great left tackle, but our left guard stinks. You know, the left tackle is deemed to be more important, but if your left guard is no good, then what are you? You still have a problem. The nickel spot, I think what he is able to do in that nickel spot with his athlete, this doesn't mean he could not handle playing outside corner, but because he is so athletic and physical and he has the speed and ability to cover so much in these areas now where teams try to quick passes in the flats and in the slots, that's what these teams try to do. And he takes a lot of that away. So I would like to see them try to keep Cooper in that spot. I know his agent or somebody might say, hey, you can make more money going to the outside.
There we go, Mike. The business comes into it at some
point. You're going to fight that probably at some point. As for Slay, I asked John this yesterday because, you know, in my mind is, hey, if you want to play, you want to be here, you're going to have to do us a solid. You know, can we do a Brandon Graham type of deal where we get you, you come back, you're where you want to be, but we can't pay you what you think you're worth. That's not a knock on you. It's just we have other, you know, priorities we have to tend to. Does Darius want to come back and play only at a contract that he thinks is his value? Because if that's the case, the Eagles might say, yeah, we can't do that. We could give you a 1 year,
I said eight. Is that too rich for you?
Probably not. No, 1 year at that, at a price like that, that's manageable for them for one more year. Like, you know, he's the oldest corner in the league. He's like 34, going to be 35 years old, right? I mean, So that is not a normal situation.
I can't imagine he's getting big money anywhere else going to a new situation.
And he has said, now, you know, you could change your mind, but he has said he only wants to play for Philly and or Detroit. They're the only two teams he really seemed to have any interest. He did pretty much insinuate, I think I could play one more. I want to play one more year. He said that on the St. Brown Brothers podcast. So he wants to play one more, but he's kind of limited to those two teams, it sounds like. So if Detroit's not interested, then what? Okay, does Philly have the upper hand here to say, we'll have you back, but here's the deal. Does he sit out? Or does he just retire if Philly doesn't give him the deal and Detroit doesn't give him the deal? Or does he then say, you know what, those two teams, I will now expand my search? I definitely think there's a lot of avenues here for Darius. But if you can get him back on the number. Now, the other question is, can he get Rodgers back? If you can get Rodgers back, because Rodgers might think, I'm a starter. I can go someplace else to play as a starter. Yeah. So can you get him back? And is that the first move? That you go Rodgers first, but does Rodgers want to sign here if you're going to bring Slay back? There's a lot that could go into the decision-making there because if you bring Slay back, then Rodgers might say, I don't want to come back and be a backup again.
Yeah, I think Rodgers is going to be easy for the Eagles to get done. I think people are going to be stunned how easy that is. He's just not going to get a lot of money for two reasons. One, size. Two, the gambling suspension. Teams are scared of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
He's just not going to get a lot of money. So,
because Rodgers, you just said his size, and he's a small guy who doesn't really play nickel, right? Yeah. He's an outside corner as a small guy. So it's a spot where we didn't get to see an elongated period of him, but when he played, he pretty much
played well.
He played his job. But I think a lot of the reason why they play so well, I think DeJean is such a key to that, is that that first option in the slot or in the intermediate of the field, he takes so much of that away that you're now forced to kind of go a little bit further, and you know, you have a much better situation because now you're getting to that second option and you can kind of cover the field, you know, with the way they play defense on the back end. So I think Cooper in the slot in that role was a big key to why their defense excelled.
Yeah, with this, I feel like it's, you know, most moves are like this, but it all depends on what happens in free agency. Like, if you tell me we're losing Bond, we're losing Milton Williams, and we're losing Josh Sweat, I'm probably going to be like, all right, bring back Slay. We need some stability on the defense. If you bring back Bond, you know, you get a good edge rusher, all right, then you feel a little bit better. Maybe they traded for Garrett, something like that. You feel all right. Let Slay walk. We can make moves at that position.
But well, and keep in mind, Slay in that secondary, Cooper second year, Mitchell second year. Mm-hmm. You know, you got some young, the Ringos and the Ricks and all those guys like that have been around here. It seems like forever now. They're all young guys still. He's kind of the one, and you had Bradbury in there too. Even though he didn't play, they kind of acted like a coach this year.
Right.
So you'll be losing two pretty prominent voices in that secondary room.
What do you think of Ringo, Mike? Like, his college tape is so impressive, but I just haven't seen it yet at an NFL level. Where are you on him?
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, you talk to these draft guys and they use like twitchy and, you know, swivel the hips.
Big Howie word.
Yeah. He just seems like he doesn't have that hip. The ability to kind of open fast enough. And I mean, he's a bigger guy. I just don't think he's a starting corner in this league. He can probably get you by if somebody's hurt for half a game, you put him out there. He's not going to kill you, but if you had to play him all 17 games the whole season, you probably would see a guy who would have some problems, unless he's a technique guy. I mean, a guy like Rasul Douglas was not an athletic corner with great fluidity and the ability to kind of turn. But he became a guy who was very serviceable in the league because he was a technique guy and really kind of has found a niche as a guy who's made a lot of big plays, had a lot of interceptions. Can Ringo, because Ringo in college was a guy whose his athletic traits kind of jumped off the field where you know.
I'll say.
Yeah, exactly.
He was good at Georgia. I mean, I watch awesome. SEC football every weekend during this season. He was a good player at Georgia.
Plus, he was good awesome. Vic mentioned he's good on special teams. And, you know, one thing he said, if you know, when defensive players are younger, well, two things here. I think people got spoiled by Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean and rookies playing at such a high level so early. Usually corners take a little bit of time. And that's what it's taken with Kaylee Ringo.
Yeah.
But boy, he's got a lot of talent. And Vic said, you never find a good defensive player wasn't good on special teams early in his career. You never. It's like you're not bad on special teams and then become good on defense, is what he was trying to say. He's really good on special teams. And
he's so athletic too. Yeah. Right? I mean, that's the thing. But I think his athleticism hasn't really transferred to the outside corner spot on the island out there.
I guarantee the Eagles want him to win the job. If Slay doesn't come back, they want him to win the job, not Rodgers. I guarantee. Doesn't mean he's going to win it, but that's what they want to happen because he's 6'2", 207, long as hell, runs a sub 4.4. He's got everything you need to be a big-time outside corner. But, yeah, does he have the football IQ? Does he have the technique? All that kind of stuff, which is meaningful. At Mike Gill Show, make sure you follow Mike on the X platform. Follow him on YouTube as well. You can watch the Sports Bash, his interviews there, 97.3 South Jersey locally. If you're down the shore, make sure you tune in to Mike Gill 2 to 6 drive time every day. I'll leave it with Vic. Because I joke around, but I said it last summer, and it seems to be true now as well. They're basically the Eagles' philosophy is I'm going to pay everybody on offense, and Vic will figure it out on defense. And there's a couple outliers. I think they're going to pay Zach Bond, but
going to have to pay Jalen Carter soon.
Yeah, they're gonna pay.
Get what? What's he getting? $35 million? $36 million?
He's going to set the market, whatever it is.
And DeJean and Mitchell.
Yeah. Coming down the pike, they're going to have to pay some guys because they were so successful. But right now, it seems like it's Vic will figure it out. Is that too much on Vic Fangio? Wasn't last year.
Well, yeah, because first off, Vic's not a young guy. How many more years are you getting elite level? I mean, and it has to do with the talent too. Now, I think one of the things with the Eagles in their front office, they feel comfortable, and this is one of the reasons why I think Bond will be the guy they sign, because they feel comfortable taking an edge rusher. They feel comfortable taking a defensive tackle. Those are two positions they do not mind drafting and spending draft capital on. They don't want to spend draft capital on linebacker if they don't have to. So we'll sign the guy in-house that we feel comfortable with. We'll let the two other guys walk, and we'll restock on the edge and at tackle. Now, that wouldn't prevent them from making a trade to fill a tackle spot or an edge spot. But those are two areas that I think they have a higher hit rate on, that so they can keep replenishing. So is it the pressure on Vic, or is it the pressure on the scouting department to keep hitting on edge and on tackle?
That's a good point. That's good, because they have hit on young players.
For years, Milton Williams, I would talk about this on my show the last couple of years. You know, one year, I think he had 4 sacks. And I'm like, well, if he got to play more, like if he doubled his snap count, could he be a guy who gets 8 snaps? And then he gets 8, and you're like, well, if he doubled his snap, could he get 12 snaps, sacks? And you're just saying, like, if I just kept seeing, I just kept saying, can I get more Milton Williams? Can I get more Milton Williams? Now, the numbers were never like, whoa, look at this guy. He's got, you know, 10 and a half sacks and 40 tackles, and 10 of them are behind the line of scrimmage. He didn't have like a year like that, but you could certainly see the athleticism. And we heard back in his draft, you know, if you remember his draft process, they said the only other guy who put up numbers like this was Aaron Donald, right? Remember, yeah. He was like a workout warrior. So Milton Williams is a guy that, while his numbers and stuff, you might not have memorable moments from him throughout the season. Do they have another guy, Mauro Ajomo or Gabe Hall or somebody that they, you know, have had through this pipeline that they think they can get serviceable enough snaps from?
Yeah. And to that point on Vic, it is, you know, I often wonder, is are even something as little as the injuries laid at edge rusher with, you know, he got peppered with questions about, because we've been ingrained with, oh, you got to have 4 edge rushers. Yeah. And Vic's like, nah, you can use 3. Shut, you know, basically.
Well, and I always ask these type of questions, like maybe it's old man thing, but did Reggie White ever come off the field?
No.
Like, when did we get to a point where a professional athlete had to be in a rotation? Like,
Jalen Carter.
This guy played every snap, and you're like, okay, he probably played both ways at some point of his life. 120, you know, like this whole thing of like he played 95% of the snaps. I'm not impressed by this. Like, I know. That's what you're supposed to do.
Well, Jalen Carter, everybody was like, well, he only played 500 snaps. Can he do this? Can he do? And Vic's like, yeah, we're going to play him. We're going to play him. He got better.
Yeah. Let's not like advocate cutting back. Let's say we hope to see, you know, I joke all the time. Like I talked to Jimmy Lynam when he coached the Sixers. I'd say, coach, I knew 6 guys on your team. You know, you had Dawkins, Hawkins, Jaminski, Barkley, Rick Mahorn, and Ron Henderson. No one else ever got in the game. That's it. They played like every single minute of every single game, and Ron Henderson was the only guy who checked in. And he would laugh. For 3 minutes. Like, these guys played the whole game. Now these NBA teams are going 15 men deep. It's like, come on, good, let's get back to
Ron Anderson, a good pull. 6 man, boy, he was good that year.
Ron Anderson, yeah.
Ron Anderson was good.
I gave you I gave you the whole lineup. You gave me Ron Anderson, I gave you the whole lineup.
Yeah, Ron Anderson was a heck of a shooter.
Number 20.
Yeah. Aaron McKee is a 6 man, too, after a little bit later.
Ron Anderson. It was the Dawkins, Hawkins, Jaminski, Mahorn, the bump and thump team.
Yeah, Ron, they got him from Indiana. Was one hell of a 6 man that year.
Yep.
It worked out beautifully.
They could never get out of the second round, those Sixers.
Yeah. Good team, though. Good team.
Trust the
process. Especially compared to now. Darn good team. So we're going way back. That's like 80s, 80, late 80s, I think. Ron Anderson.
Yep, late 80s, early 90s, probably 89, somewhere around there. I was in middle school. Yep, 88, 89, somewhere around there.
Played 82 games. I just looked them up. 82 games as a six-man, 32 minutes a game, 16 points a game. Ron Anderson. Yeah, good pull, Mike.
That's a great pull right there. Mike, great stuff, man. We appreciate you joining the show today. Make sure you guys follow him at Mike Gill Show. Go and subscribe to his YouTube channel and listen to him at 97.3 ESPN Down the Shore, the best show, one of the best sports shows really in all the country. Mike, thanks for joining, brother. We appreciate you checking in today and doing it every Wednesday for us. We'll talk to you again next week. All right, brother?
See you guys.
Thanks, bud. All right. Thanks, Mike. There's Mike Gill joining us here on Birds 365. Great job from Mike Gill. As always,
Ron Anderson. Yeah, that's a good pull. That's one I'm excited by. Probably the only one, but that's one I'm excited by.
That's a good pull. I'll take it. I'll take that type of sports intel from people who have been covering these games for longer than I have. So I'll take it there. Good stuff from Mike Gill, Johnny Mac. I will say the A.J. Brown conversations are just insane. I mean, come on, John. I get it. They're running. We're not trading A.J. fucking Brown.
You got too much time to sit around and think.
Yeah, it's the week before free agency, John. It's the land of anything is possible and talk about every possible scenario, and there are endless amounts of those scenarios. So I will not entertain it. I don't think it's even a thought process in the mind of that front office.
Well, look, you know, if you're going to commit to, and it looks like they're going to commit to what they did last year again, you know, you can, hey, why not get a little bit of cheaper and get more money to pay Zach Bond and Milton Williams? You know, would you do that? Would you say, all right, get more money to sign Zach Bond and trade for Myles Garrett? Would you do that? You know, that's the interesting part of the offseason. Bottom line to me, and I freely admit I'm Team AJ, as everyone jokes on the beat. I love the dude. He's honest. That's number one in my book. He's a great player. I've argued he's the best pure football player on the Eagles. I still believe that. And from that, my definition is nobody does their particular job at a higher level than AJ Brown on the Philadelphia Eagles. That's my definition of it. They never lose when he's on the field, basically.
Yeah, they're 18.
And they lose a whole bunch when he's been off the field.
I know.
And they don't lose a lot. And typically that's not – typically a wide receiver doesn't have that kind of impact on a team. But I think that speaks to how good he is. And even when he's not – and he is blocking, and you know, people make fun of that aspect when you're talking about receivers, but I think everyone knows AJ's a good receiver. And I'll tell you what, if you look at the Super Bowl, while people say, yeah, this is run first, and it worked. Well, it didn't work in the Super Bowl. You know, Kansas City sold out to stop Saquon Barkley. They basically did. And there were the go routes to AJ, and to a certain extent, Jahan Dotson.
And it worked, though. So, like, you know,
that's what I'm saying. There? So you want to have both of those things in the equation to be the team, because people are going to look at that tape and you'll say, well, the Eagles blew them out. Yeah, but when it comes to stopping Saquon Barkley, people are going to look at that tape, say, what did Kansas City do?
Right.
And if you don't have AJ on the outside to counteract it, it's probably not a blowout.
I agree. I wouldn't even consider it, but I understand. I understand that that's this time of the offseason, no doubt. I get it. And we'll see what ends up happening. We're going to have Brandon Lee Gatwin in about 13 minutes here on Birds 365. So we'll talk to him coming up in a little bit. Before we do that, I do want to get to our first commercial break, but I do want to tell you guys about BetUS one more time. March Madness right around the corner, everybody. BetUS, go and check them out. You can see the promo code I put on your screen. I've been telling you it all year long. YouTube 150, it gives you 150% sign-up bonus on your very first deposit. You get 125% on your second and third deposit, all up to $2,000 to deposit less and bet with more. Go and take those Eagles futures. Go and take the Saquon Barkley futures. Go and take it all. And March Madness right around the corner. So looking forward to that. I haven't watched much college basketball yet this year. I've been very busy with the Eagles, but I'd like to try and catch up a little bit before March Madness kicks off. I know my Alabama Crimson Tide is looking pretty good, so that's pretty good stuff there. But go and check them out at BetUS.com and use that promo code, and a big thanks to them for sponsoring the show today. We'll be right back on Birds 365 in 3 minutes.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.